Welcome to the Town and Country Podcast, Two Churches, One Ministry. Thank you for joining us on this fine day. I am your host, Jonathan Illion, and once again, we have returning to join us Pastor Kevin Richter, who is the pastor at St. John's Lutheran Church in Rhinebeck, Iowa, and Reverend Dr. Gerald Kapanka, who is pastor at Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Cedar Falls, Iowa. Last week, we continued our series on the Minor Prophets. For this week, our pastors are going to be focusing on the book of Zephaniah. So this is a summary of how they came to an agreement on what they would include in their sermons. What you're going to be hearing is more about the process of how they constructed their outline and the basis for their sermons. And again, this podcast will be different than most because of its length. This is part two of their conversation. So without further delay, I give you Pastor Kapanka and Pastor Richter discussing the book of Zephaniah.
And part of it's twofold. I mean, one, it's because our people don't know the word. You know, they are just not in the Bible. And this is what happens to Israel, right? You know, and so by not having the word, of course, they were eventually led to worldlyism. You know, and how many Christians get the Bible 1 hour a week and that's it? And they don't know scripture.
And even of that hour, it's limited. Yeah.
And so, you know, they don't know scripture. And so when they hear things of the world, they can't help but be influenced by it because they don't have the knowledge of scripture, the knowledge of God's word to say, no, that's not true. That's not what we believe. But then the other part is, you know, it's kind of the frog in boiling water. You don't just start out this evil and this terrible and this influenced right away. It happens slowly over time and so slowly you don't even notice it. You know, I mean, we've talked about this, that some of the churches out there that are just so far from God's word, you can't believe it. Well, they didn't go there.
No. Right.
That's been a 20-year process.
Yeah, minimum.
You know, and so what ways are we just giving in to even little ideas, just tiny little things that we just don't even notice about ourselves?
And then we add the third leg to that, that unholy trinity, is our own sinful nature. We want to be liked. We want to be welcomed. We want to be known as compassionate and kind to those ideas that may not be fully scriptural. And so we lean towards those things that are less than biblical. And so we interpret scripture. We forget to wholly apply the word of God because it makes us feel better and about ourselves or about the people around us that aren't biblical. And so you put that all together in this melting pot, and slowly over time, things, the dirt, sweep into our world, seep into our world that need to be swept out. So I think that's our law package there. That's the condition we find ourselves in. We've got Judah. We've got the reality of what's being swept away, you know, both in Israel and in our lives.
Yes. And then, you know, the great reversal, just as much as God can create and undo what we undo, he can.
Well, I think before we get there, we've got to talk about the judgment, you know, so we've talked about this is our, and the judgment is ours too. So we've got to bring the law, not just that this had come, but if this doesn't get cleaned out, the judgment is upon us.
Correct.
I mean, so, you know, we can't just say, well, okay, that's swept in, but if it remains there, we are separating ourselves, you know, just like Judah has. And then the reversal. So, I mean, and maybe it was implied in what you're saying.
Yeah, no, I like that.
Yeah, so once we've realized this is swept, this has seeped into our lives through these different methods, then we realize that we are under the condemnation, the judgment.
What is the call? Because I think this will be the same call for our people at the end of chapter one, for the remnant who will hear. You know, in the beginning, beginning of chapter two, gather together, gather, O shameless nation, before the decree takes effect, before the day passes away like chaff, before there comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you humble the land, who do his just commands. Seek righteousness, seek humility. Perhaps you may be hidden on the day of the anger of the Lord. For Gaza shall be distorted, and Ashkelon shall be a desolation, shall be driven out. Woe to you in heaven. Okay, so really, it's 1, 2, and 3 of chapter 2.
That's that call to repentance.
How do we avoid becoming worldly? How do we stop ourselves from being influenced and just continuing down this path of a slippery slope. Repent it.
Yeah.
Come back to the word. We have to know the word. You know, it's kind of the same theory.
Yeah.
You know, we have to know the word and know what God teaches. We have to self-reflect on all the ways that we're seeing our worldlyism influence us. And probably a call for this would be the need for a community. You know, it's kind of like when you're on a diet and losing weight, or you're eating unhealthy and gaining weight, a pound or two a day, you don't recognize how much you're changing until you show up to somebody who hasn't seen you in 2 months and say, whoa, you look weight. But they say, whoa, who's your friend
on
your shirt?
Yeah.
You aren't even aware.
Yeah, you haven't realized what you've done to yourself. Yeah.
But you need that other person who's there to call you out and encourage you and show you, hey, I don't think that's biblical. You know, I don't think that's God's way.
Which just made me think of, this really isn't a new reality. This is, the church has faced the same situation, because what was the first of the 95 theses?
The whole life shall be
a life of repentance, which is right here, isn't this? This is a call to us, and you know, they've dealt with this in every generation. You know, our generation is just a different set of sins, but the reality is the same thing. We're still allowing sin, and the same thing is still a thing. We need the church. We need the body of Christ. We need the worship. So the answer is still the same.
Yes.
It hasn't changed. The community of faith.
Believers, yeah. And then the repentance over and over and over.
Yeah.
Really, the repentance calls for the cross.
Yeah.
That we even
come back to the cross, yeah.
Recognize these sins in ourselves. We can't save ourselves. We can't do anything.
Right.
We run to the cross where they've already been paid for and washed, and we walk away clean, swept out, but that remnant, faithful remnant, ready to live according to God.
And that leads you right into your gospel. I mean, that leads you right into that beautiful.
We look forward to that final day.
Right.
The repentance leads us to the gospel, leads us to that final day.
That restoration is beautiful. Yeah. Now is the other side of the day of the Lord. This is that, you know, verses, you know, chapter 3, verses 14 and following.
So our theme verse is in chapter 1. What verse is that? The day of the Lord is near.
That's just the subtitle. I don't think it, does it actually say that?
It does. It's verse 7.
Oh, yeah, verse 7, yeah.
Is near.
Yeah.
Has prepared a sacrifice. You know, which in their minds immediately sounds like we're the sacrifice. He's going to destroy us. He's going to burn us. He's going, you know, I mean, think about this. You have the burning indignation. You have the sweeping away all inhabitants of the man. You know, that like, it makes it sound like the wrath of God is going to sacrifice us. But ultimately that points to the gospel of, instead of us, he's prepared a sacrifice of his own son.
Yeah, you can take the Lord has prepared a sacrifice, and
because, you know, even then on the day of the Lord's sacrifice, I'll punish the officials and the king's son. Again, they're immediately thinking of the doom and gloom of the destruction ahead of them. He's thinking of, on that day, Jesus is going to pay for the sins of all the kings and officials who have never obeyed. He's going to die for the sin of all these things that, yes, it is the wrath and destruction of the, you know, Israel falling. But it's ultimately fulfilled in the cross.
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, yeah, that could be a whole separate sermon. I don't know.
No, I don't. But I think you're right there in that sense that he's prepared the sacrifice, which, again, goes, I think your theme verse in 1:7 is really it. The day of the Lord is near. The Lord has prepared a sacrifice. You know, that's your theme verse. And then you can take that sacrifice in that direction.
Yeah. So then our focus with God as a subject.
You're better at writing these focus things, because I've never done that in my life. So,
reality and means, or any of those things. What did you learn?
Oh, I'm sure we played with that, but I had a different.
What was the year where you graduated?
Just after the Second Reformation,
yeah,
the Counter Reformation.
Yeah, Reformation, though, because when you're talking about this is the call of the church and the life of the church, right? This is what happens, right? The church strays.
Yeah.
And we need a reformation to bring us back.
Yeah.
What did Luther do to, you know, brought us back to the word of God? You know, these man-made traditions, these councils, all these things that are leading the church astray.
Yeah.
Let's come back to the word of God. And what, you know, I mean, whether you're Reformed calling for a revival, or you're a Lutheran calling for reformation, what are we always calling for? A return to the word.
Semper Reformata.
Yeah, a return to living as God's people the way he intended us to live. Because every church will get comfortable, will get complacent, will be influenced, and will begin to stray. And a lot of times, unfortunately, those churches just continue to go that way. You can't pull them back. So you have to have a remnant, break off, live according to God's word, and basically kind of start the process over again.
Well, I've always kind of held in my own mind, and I've kind of taught this theoretically, that I believe that church history is subdivided into 500-year increments at about the 500-year mark. Now, and if you look, even going back to Old Testament times, that about every 500 years, there is a demarcation of something big happening. You know, so I mean, you're starting even with the New Testament, you know, at about 500 years, you had the formation of the Roman Catholic Church, and at 1,000, you had the East-West split. At 1,500, you had the Reformation. We're at one of those 500-year demarcations now. I don't know what it'll be, and history won't be able to declare it until long after I'm dead. But I think we're looking at the church's need of a reformation, the church's need of some sort of major historical shakeup. You know, and you go back in the Old Testament, and you look at the 500 years at the exile and the time of that, and you go back, you know, 500 years that, you get the David, and you go back be 500 years. So about every 500 years, there's a major shift in the history of our faith. And I think our time frame is we're in that world and we're living through it. I don't know what it'll be. And I'll never know because I'll be in the kingdom of glory before it all shakes out. But your point is well made. I have no idea what it was, but it sounded good when you said it. Yeah.
Calling for reformation, you know, the true repentance is back to not going back to those comfortable ways and the way the church has gone, but coming back to the true word of God and you know, just really relearning it. You know, it's almost like Josiah, you know, what is this book?
Yeah.
I've forgotten about this book, you know, and people that are in churches that never really use the book, and then all of a sudden they actually read it for themselves and say, whoa.
I think that would be a great biblical illustration that we could tie into here is just, you know, that Zephaniah was written during that time of Josiah discovering this book again, and the people saying, you know, what is this book? You know, and we need to rediscover this book that we've all had on our shelves. We've had it. We need to discover not just, oh yeah, I believe in God and I went to church, but what does it really say? Because we've kind of taken it for granted.
What's crazy is, again, back to Deuteronomy, you know, God is saying, if you ever have a king, which is so funny.
Yeah.
But if you ever have a king, the one thing the king is supposed to do is handwrite his own copy of the whole book. And so he is supposed to make his own handwritten copy of the book so that he's reading it, he's writing it, working through it, and then he's supposed to keep it with him at all times, his copy of it, so that, you know, he rules by the word of God.
Yeah.
And obviously the kings are not doing this because Josiah doesn't even know what the book is.
Right.
Alone saying, oh, I haven't got around to copying that, you know. And when you look at all the, yeah, I mean, nowhere does it even say David wrote it.
No.
You know, and so as early as Saul, the first king, he may never have done this, that even though God set this up in Deuteronomy, it was never actually lived out and done. And, you know, every king just gets further and further strays, you know, to more gods and further gods and treats the people horrible because they're not doing what God asked them to do of write the book, know the book, rule by the book, you know. And so, yeah, we see churches. What is the main principle of the church? Teach and preach the word of God. But when they get so caught up in programs and socialism and all these other things of just serving your neighbor, just doing all these things, or feel-good messages of, I'll tell you all the ways God loves you with my own creative mind, not scripturally, you know, it just is.
And our operating principle is, what is the bare essentials I need to know about the word of God so that I can, you know, how can we diminish the word of God to the bare essentials of, rather than the full, you know, course of God, the full nature of God.
Right.
Yes.
John 3:16, I have everything I need.
Exactly.
Nope, not quite.
You know? Yeah.
And really, I mean, my friend, we've discussed this with Christian music, you know, that trying to be creative, there are so many beautiful metaphors and creative illustrations in the Bible that if you have to create something new that's never been there before, like, is that really faithful to God?
Right.
That, like, I don't know. It just, that's a whole other topic, but it just is interesting. So So our function really is at my ears. We really want them to reflect inward.
Yeah.
Not so much look at the world, but really reflect inward on what ways have I been worldly? What ways do I need to
repent of?
And how do I actually go about being this people of God, part of the remnant that will be there to hear the Lord sing over me? You know,
I love that. Yeah. That will be there to hear the Lord sing over me. Yeah, that's the beautiful. That's good. Gosh, you're good at that.
Okay. So now it's through the outline. So really, I mean, we start with the day of the Lord's judgment. Well, we probably have to do some historical.
Yeah, some context, yeah.
And it's, I mean, kind of already covered it with some of the others, so, but we can just talk about who his contemporaries are.
I think we need to kind of highlight just a little bit Josiah, and if we're going to bring him in, you know, where this was and where the word had been hidden for so long and discovered.
Okay, and then we go into the day of the Lord,
mm-hmm.
and we see judgment side, and this is the reversal of creation. It's the sweeping the house and, you know, fulfilling what the Israelites failed to do in the promised land.
Do we want to insert God's judgment against them from Zephaniah here, or do we want to just do it a combined judgment after we've made it relevant? Yeah, do we bring in, you know, okay, here's Zephaniah speaks to Israel.
Well, we could do Zephaniah proclaiming to all the countries around,
yeah,
but then also giving right
specific, yeah,
judgment to the nations, but also Israel. Okay, and then
you go to the relevant
judgment.
Yeah, for us. What's this mean to us, and how does this apply to us? And the same thing, it's what's the term, you know, mission creep, but it's really the opposite of mission creep. It's sin creep, really.
So really, us is, we live in a nation of, you know, idolatrous pagan people.
My dad always used to say, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. And I think that's really what we're talking about, because no one ever planned to allow sin to invade their life, but it begins with my good intentions of trying to be good, trying to be faithful, trying to be compassionate, worldly, whatever. But over time, it just allows all the crud of the world into my life and drives out the word of God.
Yeah. So we live in the world, but are slowly becoming like the world. And then this is lack of scripture, you know, like in Josiah.
In our own sinful nature, too. I think we get...
I'm just going to call it the boiling water.
Yeah, frog in the kettle.
Slowly influenced more and more. And then the third one is our own sinful nature.
Yeah, wants to be accepted, wants to be liked, wants to be included.
So then, you know what this is called, by the way?
What's that?
By Dr. Schmidt, this would be a 4-page sermon. Is it the law of the text, the law of our life, the gospel of the text, the gospel of our life?
Ah.
A 4-page.
Way to go, David.
There you go. So now we go to the, well, we're really not doing that, I guess, because we're not going to the gospel of the text yet. We're going to go to
the call to repentance.
Seek the Lord, repent, go back in his ways. Then here's where we could bring in the gospel of the sacrifice of the day of the Lord is not the destruction of Israel.
Yeah, that's...
It's the cross.
Yeah, and that's 1:7, 1:7 and 8.
Sacrifice is not destruction, but rather the cross. Jesus is sacrifice. Okay, so then the gospel for us is the call to repentance.
Yeah.
The Reformation. We could even, if you want to, be really good Lutherans and bring in Luther.
Yeah.
And then this is where we get to, because that's truly the only thing that's going to save us. So then... because the gospel, Christ's sacrifice, whatever you want to say, leads us to the day of the Lord.
The ultimate or the consummate day of the Lord, which is the...
I mean, it's still the same day of the Lord. It's but, the other side of
the... Yeah, the other side of the coin, yeah.
So the day of restoration.
Is 3:14 through 20.
What was the phrase right before? No enemies that we like. Taking judgments away.
Yeah. Lord will take away the judgment against you. He'll declare your, he has cleared away your enemies. He will change your shame into praise.
So I think, you know, the theology of glory, the theology of the cross, the Christian church today, that's all just going to come.
Yeah, it's going to flow out in those,
specific areas. But this is a, so I'm going to run through it one more time. So we have the historical content, that looming doom of Israel, but King Josiah being the good king, finding the law, trying to lead them to cleansing of idolatry, but unable to do it. And then you have the day of the Lord judgment side, reversal of creation, sweeping the house, fulfilling what the Israelites failed to do in the promised land. The Israelites are just as worldly as everybody around them. This earth is lost. Then you go to Zephaniah pronouncing judgment to the nations and Israel, all like in this, like them. So the judgment for us, we live in the world, but are slowly becoming like the world. You know, and there we can bring in that. Don't even notice how it's happening. It's the lack of scripture, the boiling water effect, and our own sinful nature that wants to be worldly. So Zephaniah calls to repentance, you know, seek the Lord, go back to his ways, remain faithful to him. The sacrifice that is prepared is not the destruction of Israel, but rather the cross. Jesus is the sacrifice. And so for us, it's a call to repentance, the reformation, to return to the word, to seek the Lord and know the word, to be in that community that can call us out and lead us to faithful living. The gospel is what saves us. Gospel leads us to the day of the Lord, which is the restoration. Here, the remnant is in the New Jerusalem. No enemies, judgments taken away. God singing over his people.
I think you got it. There you go. By George, we've got it. That's Pygmalion right there.
So now we need like some really powerful theological line for John to just close on.
Mighty Fortress kind of music just kind of playing in the background that just suddenly goes blah, 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 da, da. Yeah, just like, and just kind of raises it, just been playing softly in the background and just kind of goes crescendo right there. Boom. Yeah.
What if instead of writing the manuscript of preaching, we just sit in front of the congregation and have this conversation back and forth and they just get to listen and that's the sermon?
The only problem is that we're been here for an hour. I mean, the idea of doing this and just having this conversation, I think would be an interesting thing if we had the time to do it, just to watch the experience. I'm interested. I asked John to trace the metrics between the two different types of podcasts to see if we get a different level of response, because I think this one, if I'm, although obviously as a preacher, I'm going to find this more interesting listening to this type of podcast than I will the first type as we're creating.
Yeah, depending on what we're able to cut out and put back.
Yeah, I think John's got the hardest job. You and I can sit here and kind of brainstorm and throw us. He's got to try to take all of this mess that's an hour long and try to create it into a half hour show.
Thank you for choosing to join us for this edition of the Town and Country Podcast, Two Churches, One Ministry. We invite you to come back next week as we bring you the next episode in this series on the Minor Prophets, which will be about the book of Joel. Once again, special thanks goes out to our audio engineer, Mr. Dave Kaler, for setting up this podcast. You are a wizard, sir, and we thank you for your help. On behalf of Pastor Kevin and Pastor Kapanka, I am your host, Jonathan Illion, and we invite you to come back again next week as we bring you the next installment of the Town and Country Podcast. Thanks again, and have a great week.